Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio with your host, Pastor Cheryl Faxton. Thank you so much for joining me today for the process of their favor walk, where we walk by faith and not by sight, where we go through the journey and we enjoy the journey of where God has called us and is taking us to, the place where we cannot explain, the place that we cannot plan, but God uses our everyday life to stretch us, to make us, to transform us, to build us up in our most holy faith, and to see the demonstration of his power. We are those who God has called for his purpose and his plan through the blood of Jesus Christ. And it's an awesome place because we have relationship and fellowship with God, and we see him in a way that we've never seen him before. He demonstrates his awesome word and life and truth in us, and we are a blessing not only to ourselves and our own family, but to every generation, every nationality, and every race and nation that we come in contact with, because we show them the love of God by the life of worship that we have. That is not only on Sundays or Wednesday nights or whenever we have Bible study, but it's an everyday lifestyle, and we thank God for that. We've been looking at individuals in the Bible, seeing them not as superhuman Christians, but seeing them as ordinary individuals that God has called and chosen for his purpose and his plan. And it does not matter that they're imperfect, that they sometimes don't follow the plan that God has set, that they make mistakes. The word of God is so powerful that it is able to accomplish all that he says, and their frailty does not refute or stop the word of God. But it commands the word of God to come and be manifest in their life even the more, because the word of God and the purpose of God is founded on God himself and not our accomplishments. It is founded on the truth and the authority and the power of God to do exceedingly abundantly far above what we ask, think, or even imagine. So it's an awesome that God uses and chooses unlikely people to serve him, to love him, to have his will done. And it doesn't matter when God chooses a person or a tribe or a race or a nation. It does not matter what happens in their life. It will accomplish, it will come to pass because God has spoken a word. There are no enemy, no time, no circumstance can refute or halt or alter, because the word of God is the final word that is established in the heavens and will remain forever. So I love it that he's established us in himself and given us a word and called us to that word in himself. And he's proving it over and over and over again with his everlasting power and love and authority. We have been looking at so many different things in the Bible. And we're going to go back again to the book of Daniel. And we're going to look in that book again. I'm sorry, we're going to go back to the book of 1 Samuel. We were in Daniel last week, and we were dealing with Daniel, but we're going back to Samuel, and we're going to talk about when Saul was anointed as king. And we're going to talk today about the place of preparation for there. When we look at the book of Samuel and look where Saul was going to be anointed as king, he was at a disadvantage because he was the smallest tribe, and he had an inferior complex about himself, about his tribe that followed him throughout his reign. He chose to listen to the people more than he looked into God and the will of God. And that was the thing that moved him out of his position with God, that he had been set down in heaven before he was ever set down in the earth, that God anointed David as king before Saul was ever moved from the throne, that God had a man out of his own heart, which was David. And the preparation that Saul had, preparation that David had, and Moses and Joseph and Joshua, everyone in the Bible goes through a preparation process. And you can either love that preparation, love what God is doing in your life, love the place that God has you in, understand it and grow and gather and increase from it, or it can be the place that you don't grow in, that you don't become shaped, that you become stagnant, that you become almost lost, and that you go in your own way that seemeth right to you. But the word of God lets us know there's a way that seemeth right to all men, that at the end there is destruction. And we don't want that destruction. We want to be in the place where we're able to see God's power, light, word, truth, manifest in our life in a way that commands every enemy of our life to be under our feet, even the enemy of our own self. the enemy of our own heart and mind, the enemy of our own imagination, that person, that image to be destroyed, because we can have an imagination or a thought or an idea or a concept about ourselves. It's not what God says. It's not what God sees us in or as. It is not what God wills for us. And if we don't allow that to be killed in our process, if we don't allow God to kill us and deliver us or reshape us in those areas, those places will be our demise. As we look at Saul, as I said before, he, no matter how good God was to him or how God blessed him or how God gave him victory, he saw himself in a way that he had to always please people, because the words or the image of the people of seeing him at a disadvantage or seeing him as lesser was greater or outweighed what God had for him or what God was saying concerning him. When David was going through his process, David drew nigh to God. He drew nigh to the word and the life and the truth of God. He drew nigh to the image and the authority of God for his life. He did not allow what his family, because if you look and study David's life, David's family rejected him. His father rejected him and didn't see him as equal value to his brothers. His brothers thought he was strange and weird, even to the point when David goes to take the bread to his brothers and the supplies to his brothers, and we first see Goliath there. We see him encountering the Israel army, and everyone is hiding and they're afraid. David asks and inquires, and his brother tells him, why are you here? What did you come for? And David responds, can I not ask a question? And basically, that lets me see that in the relationship with his family, it was not that well, that good. And that is one of the reasons why we see the relationship between him and Jonathan bloom and blossom into such a beautiful relationship of friendship, of brotherhood, of love, of adoration that looks and resembles what God wants us to have, because he did not have that in his own family. He did not have that with his own brothers and his father. But God allowed him to have it within a holy relationship of love in the spirit realm. So we see the preparation that David went through was a preparation that says, I will love God in spite of it all. I will trust God in spite of it all. I will be that which God wants me to be, regardless of how my parents or my family sees me. So your preparation has to be in that same way. You can't allow the image or the words of people to make you think that God has made a mistake, but he's called you to a certain place. Look at the life of Joseph. Joseph's brothers did not understand him, and they did not recognize the greatness of who he was and what God had assigned for him. But he didn't allow that to stop him. Even when his father dies and his brothers still don't know him, and they're thinking in their mind that he's going to now get them back, that he's going to repay them, the first thing that he says is, this was not done for the glory of man. I didn't do this so that my father will be pleased. I did this because this was the will of God. God sent me ahead to prepare the way for his people. And you have to understand that your preparation process is the process where God is not preparing you only for the destiny that you need to walk in, but he's preparing your character. He's preparing your image of how you see yourself, of how you view yourself, of your self-esteem, of how you think of yourself, so that when you walk into the place, the office, the anointing, the endowment of what God is doing in your life, you don't see yourself through weak eyes. You don't see yourself. You don't see yourself as unworthy of what God has endowed you with, because all the gifts come from God. He's the one that gives them. All the anointings, they come from him. So he already knew you before you were ever born, and then gave you what you needed, empowered you with what you needed, put inside you what you needed so that you would be what he called and commanded you to. So it has nothing to do with you. It's all about the glory and the will of God. So you have to remember that while you're being processed and made for the place that God is taking you, he is also shaping your character, shaping your mindset, shaping your image, shaping the place of where you're going, shaping the endowment of where he's going to take you at, so that when you get there, your own mind, your own will, your own light does not cause you to let go of, release the place that God has allowed you to go to, that He's already predestined you for. You have to make sure that that place is always for the glory and the honor of God. It's not for you to exalt your own self or to even see yourself in a different light. It is for the glory of God. So you have to make sure that you live to make God, the glory of God, be seen in you. In that process, it's not just for that, just the same thing as with Esther. Esther's character was being made. She was a child that did not have parents around her or any brothers or sisters. She was an orphan. Her uncle picks her up. She could always pick up the concept, I'm not any good. My parents are gone. I'm not as good as anybody else. He left here with only an uncle who really probably doesn't understand me or understand what I'm going through or how I feel. She could have gone through all of those situations, but she did not. She allowed the glory of God and the beauty of God, the endowment of God, to come from the inside out. That beauty was that which was on in her life that was showed up in the reign of where she was going, of what God called her to. So you have to understand that when God is preparing you, when God is making you, He is not just making you for the position or the place that He's taking you. He's also dealing with your character, your self-image to heal you. And you cannot allow the enemy, the circumstances, to now move you in a place where you're not in agreement with the will of God for your life. It is God's will that you be healed, whole, and the image of how you see yourself identifies with the image of Him and His likeness. It identifies with the wholeness of who He is, the truth. It doesn't matter where you've been, because all of us have a story. All of us have a place that we've gone through. All of us have something that we've faced in our lives. But God allows His wholeness to shape us for where He's going, the truth of where He's going, and not what the enemy's saying or not what the enemy's doing. And that's what you have to understand. You have to allow God to prepare you, even emotionally, mentally, in the thing that God is calling you to, so that the enemy never finds ground to make you feel insufficient, make you feel like you're unworthy, make you feel like you cannot do it, because we can't do it in our own self anyway. We're relying totally on Him. But the enemy would beat us down with low self-esteem, low self-worth, and low value to make you believe that you will always be at a disadvantage, as Saul was. But if we study people, we see people in the Bible, those individuals that allow God to make form them, allow God to deal with the way they see themselves, you see them move in a place where their authority of God is not just in the spirit or in the place that God has called them, but it's also in the image of how they see themselves. They're not walking around still seeing themselves as useless, as a dirty wretch, of someone who's got to bow to the request of people. But they are now saying, I submit myself unto the living God, and I do what I've been purposed and I've been called to do. We see this in the life of Moses. Moses' life he was in Pharaoh's house, the Bible says that he was very well educated, very well learned, knowledgeable, and there was a confidence in him. There was a boldness in him that was there. But when he gets hit with this blow because he kills the Egyptian and he leaves, when God comes to brings him back, the first thing he says, I stutter. He starts to talk about his inabilities, his limitations, because this blow gave a shock to his self-image of how he saw himself and how the people would see him and how the people would receive him. So God had to give him the reassurance of sending him an errand to let him understand, it's okay, I'm with you and I'm sending you help. And at the end, we see Moses' attitude about himself in a different light. He sees himself as a leader, but God had to keep working on him until he saw himself as God saw him. Don't allow the enemy or the circumstance, even blows, to make you go backwards in your emotional arena or in the area of your mind or how you see yourself. Push, because God has already set before you the ability to be all that He said. He's giving you the help. And even though you fall, going to do as He says, as you mess up, as you don't get it right, it does not refute the word of God, because you're still going to be what He says. Let Him deal with how you see yourself. Let Him deal with the image of what causes you to feel like you are inadequate to do what God says. Let Him deal with all those things, so when you reach the place that you're going to get there, because you're going to get there, you're going to be all that God says. I praise God that you heard me today for this 15 minutes of empowerment. Be blessed in the Lord, and I pray that you have a wonderful weekend, and we'll be back, if the Lord will, for next week to do, as he says again, 15-minute empowerment on the process of there on Favor Life. God bless you. I'm Pastor Cheryl Baxter.